Well, let's see what Jesus says about the blood. He said unto them in Mark 14th chapter, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many. Except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwell in me, and I in him." The writer of the book of Acts says, "Take heed to yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his blood." And Paul, relating to his listeners how that Jesus behaved himself at that Last Supper, he said he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, "This is the New Testament of my blood. This do you, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Here at the Last Supper, the night before his crucifixion, we find our loving Lord sharing his blood with those he loved. He shared his blood with his disciples before he shed his blood for the whole world. And then listen to what Paul says, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his graces." His blood was the penalty for sin. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 1. I'll read verse 7 to you. "But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ his Son cleanses us from all sin." And John wrote again in the book of Revelations, chapter 19, "I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." He wrote again in Revelation chapter 1. He said that this was from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Most of us become consciously aware of the blood that's in our bodies mainly when we begin to lose it. Sometimes I feel that we miss the real sense of the power of blood, the power that sustains life. Blood has spattered the pages of history. Drinking it gave strength and new life to the ghost of the dead in the Odyssey, to the Roman epileptics who dashed into the floor of the Colosseum to lick up the blood of the dying gladiators, to Kenya's tribesmen who still celebrate feast days by drinking blood freshly drawn from a cow or goat. In our human relations today, blood has a mysterious, almost sacred aura. What is this mysterious aura about blood that causes children to cover their faces and women to turn their heads and grown men to faint? What is that mysterious thing about blood? Almost sacred it is. An oath holds more power than a person's words. But blood makes a contract nearly unbreakable. The ancients sometimes sealed contracts by slashing themselves and commingling their blood. We modern people have inherited some of those quaint tokens of the natural mystery of blood. A wedding ring is placed on the ring finger of the left hand. That was once believed to contain a vein leading directly to the heart. Then there is the game of the blood brothers that we played as children, as we solemnly pledged our undying loyalty. We also voiced misconceptions when we used terms like pure blood or mixed blood or blood relations, or even hot-blooded and cold-blooded. This goes back to the days when this precious liquid was presumed to have temperament. Even now, after much study on blood, it still retains that mystic power. We still get that queasy sensation when we see blood shed. There is something unnatural, even nauseating, about watching this pure, precious fluid as it pours uncontrollably from a living body. Little wonder that religions throughout history have honored blood as a sacred substance. A ravaging plague or drought or anything of major importance can prompt a bloody sacrifice in a primitive religion. Some Christians feel uncomfortable with the fact that Christianity too is blood-based. Old Testament writers graphically describe blood sacrifices, and the New Testament overlays those symbolic rituals with the theological interpretation. In their writings, they choose the word blood 3 times more often as the cross of Christ and 5 times more frequent as death. In our church today, we are called upon to commemorate Christ's death with a ceremony centered in his blood. Peter called it precious. Listen to what he wrote in 1 Peter, the 1st chapter. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things. I like that. We were not redeemed by things that could be corrupted, such as water or works. But Peter said, but with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot.